Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our friends at the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel today, oh, this is a good one. We've got Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times. We have David Haw, lead columnist, Chicago Tribune and The Score. And Jesse Rogers, Cubs guru at ESPN 1000 and ESPN.com. And author of a brand new book that's the second best Cubs book that's on the table right now here in front of us. It's called Try Not to Suck. It's all about Joe Maddon.
I'll take second.
We will get to that in just a little while. All right, Cubs lose today. They had their home opener finally after a snowy day yesterday, canceled the ball game, but Jesse, Tyler Chatwood was not great today. Five innings, five earned, yet he only walked one. Last week, one run on six walks.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Maybe an overcorrection. You know, first couple innings is blowing 95, 96 mile an hour fastballs by guys. They eventually caught up. So I wonder if he nibbled last start. Now he doesn't want to nibble and he gets hit. Not a great two games for getting results and stuff, just the walks and then the hits. So let's see how this thing plays out. Sometimes opening day can be weird, even though it's 2 weeks into the season. And the Pirates are hot, so you got to give them
a hot. Very good lineup. Yeah. Disappointing, though, I think, overall today. You had opening day delayed 24 hours. Chatwood had, you know, you had high hopes for him. Not the start you wanted. The Cubs just couldn't get the right hit at the time, at the right time. Jason Hayward had a nice day, but I don't think that there's a lot of other things to be really that.
Remember, Mike Montgomery gave up a three-run home run to really seal the deal. That's not good either.
Yeah.
I don't draw any conclusions or even come close on April 10th, especially when the weather's been like it is. I know a lot of teams have started in the South, but still, it's just too early, and I think Chatwood's going to be fine. I think he's a really good pitcher. I think he's going to be
there. Nobody's drawn conclusions, but they did keep score.
Right, and all I'm saying is I'm not going to make any inferences based on what I've seen over how they're going to do.
I
don't disparage you for doing that, okay. But I'm just saying for me it's April 10th.
But can I jump in?
I just want to say I think Chatwood is going to be really good. I think he's the two starts don't bother me. He had control problems. One, maybe he was doing, you know, I think he gave up a hit to the number eight hitter today. He just didn't have it. I mean, he's going to be fine. He's going to be their best number five starter, better than John Lackey last year and better than Jason Hamill. I mean, except for 16 when I think they were all under – they're all under 4.0 ERAs.
Right.
He's going to be their best number five starter if he ends up being their number five starter. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. I like I said, I just think it's just too early to.
I mean, I agree with Mark about Chatwood. The stuff is good. It was good in spring. It was still even good in these two starts. Just missed a few times, whatever. But to David's point, the one thing we can say now is, okay, it's not going to be 25-6.
Right.
It's not going to be a five-game lead to ending April, probably. I mean, you never know. But that's the one conclusion. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more of a grind this first month. I don't think so. I would be surprised if they had to wait till July or August to push the buttons. But it might be more like May or might be late April.
I'm going to throw something out here that I've been begging for a while. Stop with the Ian Happ experiment at the top of the lineup and in center field, because there was a ball hit today that Albert Almora catches 100 out of 100 times. Ian Happ let it drop, and it brought in runs. And I'm not saying it was the difference in the game. It was a big play in the game.
So what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because he's the guy that you have to get him some at-bats. You can't just give up on Ian Happ.
I'm not giving up. I want to play Albert Almora and give him a chance to be out there every day, and let's see in 2 weeks where we are.
In fairness, though, I mean, Happ is coming off a spring that he was lights out.
That seems like ages ago already.
Hold on a second. He hit a bunch of home runs. Some were not number one starters he was facing. Some are already back in the minors. We get so caught up in, everybody. Oh, my God. He hit seven home runs in the spring. Albert Almora is so much a better outfielder than Ian Happ, and he can't get on the field, and it drives me nuts.
Well, he's going to be in there tomorrow. The one thing is he is starting against lefties, obviously, and they have faced a lot of lefties. So what Joe is doing is right now a true platoon split. Usually you don't face lefty, righty, left. They kind of have. So Happ versus righties, Almora versus lefties, and maybe after a few weeks we'll see who comes out of this better.
So you're ready to give up on Happ as a leadoff guy.
I'm giving Albert Almora a chance.
Okay, but how quick were you to want to do the same, have the same reaction a year ago when Kyle Schwarber was struggling at the top of the order?
Not as quick.
But sometimes you learn something. You know, I waited too long last year. I don't want to wait as long this year.
Yeah. I mean, I have always been an Elmore guy. I like the fact that what he brings to the table. But I don't know that I'm all that willing to give up on Happ after 10 games.
Yeah, I don't think I'm giving up. I'll still play him.
Think you would give him the benefit of the doubt to Elmore if you were to pick one or the other?
Yeah, if I was making the lineup out for the next 7 days, Albert Elmore would start 5 to 6 of them.
Yep.
That ball that fell in center field today cannot fall. It cannot be not caught by a major league center fielder. Come on.
I think I speak for all 50-something Cub fans saying this is a fantastic problem to have. You have two players who are actually pretty good right now, and they need at-bats. That's all they need. And I think they're both going to be good players. The question is, it's an interesting problem, is who do you give the at-bats to? Who plays when? Elmore is the better center fielder. There's no doubt about it. But I think you're shortchanging Happ if you don't give him at-bats at this point. He's shown enough that he can really rise above this entire group or the – to the top of that group if he just plays more. And
can Ian Happ play first base?
They talked about it in spring. He never did. Neither are an on-base machine, though. They need some on-base guys at this point.
Get some at-bats. If Schwarber's struggling, put him over in left field if you want.
I like that.
Can he play in
But they had at least one game where Elmore was in center and Happ was in left. They did that once.
Jesse, you made a really good point about they need somebody to get a base. It's an interesting situation for the Cubs that they've got all this. They've got depth and they've got versatility. Yet they actually and they got a manager who will do anything. They have a manager who will use them every which way. But this team needs your classic leadoff man who can get on base. I mean, it's almost counterintuitive to a guy like Joe Maddon, but that's really what they need.
Well, it feels like they need that because they will come back, and rightly so. They scored all those runs without one last
year. Second in the league in runs.
And it can't be worse than last year. Schwarber was so down with the numbers, although Happ is kind of down this year, too.
It seems like they score them in bunches. It doesn't seem like they're consistent because they don't hit with runners in scoring position and the guys aren't getting on base. And you think that they would need sort of a prototypical on-base percentage guy with speed.
Let's do one thing. Let's pretend that 10 games mean something because of the last couple years. If this was the playoffs, Jed Theo Joe would be scared as you know what because they're not getting those guys home. That's playoff baseball. And you could take a chance that you might go on a two-week run in October and hit homers. You might do that, but you'd like to score a few different ways. And these 10 games are indicative of what's happened in the past.
They came up with a big hit today.
Lefty on lefty, 0-2. That was huge.
At a time
just make contact.
Where a lot of people in the press box, Jesse and I were there, were saying, okay, this is the time. Do you want to pinch hit here? Do you want to bring in Elmore? Yeah.
And he delivered.
On the other end, Hayward's big hits this year have come with a 6-run lead and a 5-run deficit. I think he's got to hit a little better when
that.
I also think it's outcome bias. I think Elmore should have pinch hit for Hayward there.
See, I disagree with you. I disagree with you.
He probably would have.
Well, I respect that, but I think that it's April. It's April, it's April 10th.
That's the reason.
He hasn't disappointed you yet, so you have to give him a chance to come through in situations
like
that.
But I will say his changes, he's looked good against righties and not as good against lefties, though he came through today.
Let's talk about Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
He is on the 10-day DL. I was texting with him last night. He said, hey, I'm planning on playing on Monday. This is just precautionary. I feel fine. It's gotten much better. Your take on where we're at with Rizzo.
See, I think that he will be in there Monday. I'm sure of that. But what happens the next time? Now that this has popped up 3 times in the last 3 years, really, and this is the most severe, you have to take notice. What if the next time's 20 days? And the next time, so you've got to change your approach, whether it's working out, whether it's taking swings, whether it's maintenance, off-season. You've got to start thinking these things. Joe has talked about this. You can build into an injury because of repetition. And as he gets older, he's got to be careful.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Will Anthony Rizzo's back be a concern all season long? Fire away right now.
You don't want to be an alarmist, and it's April 10th, but I think Jesse's right. And I wrote about this because this is something that back injuries aren't to be taken lightly at all because the slightest thing can tweak them. The slightest, and the fact that he deals with it every year, usually later in the year, and it's April and he's dealing with it, makes you wonder, is this going to be something that is an on and off chronic situation? Now, Joe Maddon denied that. He talked pregame. You know, he's going to be okay. That's the hope. But right now, it is hope.
It's a deep team with a lot of firepower, but if there's a heart and soul of this team that really affects other players and how they do overall, it's Anthony Rizzo. Whatever, however they handle it, they've got to be careful and make sure they keep him in there, because if there's somebody they can't afford to lose just for a lot of reasons at a lot of levels, it's Rizzo.
And the good news is it's not structural. It is tightness, which is just taking longer to loosen up. But at some point, it could turn into something else.
Any problem that they don't have a true backup first baseman on the roster?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Zobrist does fine. You know, I'm not sure defensively.
Javi could play there. Chris could play there.
Right. No one's going to be as good as Rizzo.
They brought up is a gold glove caliber fielder.
I mean, how many teams do have a
Efren
true backup?
Efren Navarro.
Yeah, he's a good
He can throw really well, too, as Joe told us before the game. When you're talking about your first baseman's ability to throw, you know they've really scouted
him. He can pitch in a blowout.
Right, that too. There you go.
Well, we'll see what
happens. How about Schwarber? Can he play first? Wouldn't that make – I mean
– on some level, it would make sense. Yeah. But he hasn't really done it. So they worked Zobrist out in the spring. There's a lot to it. Footwork, where to go with your cutoffs, things. A little bit more –
Rizzo made it sound easy. What's your advice?
Right.
Catch the ball.
Zobrist is a little bit more veteran. I think it'd be easier for him to take over short-term.
On the other side of Tal, White Sox have hit a losing streak. But Ricky's boys don't quit. Down 6-2 in the ninth. Two outs and two strikes on the hitter. Jose Abreu has liftoff. He takes one out to deep center field. That's a 420-foot bomb. Sox plate four in the ninth, but lose 6-5. And they are now five straight L's, David.
It's very hard, very difficult start for them. Not what they wanted. Look at that empty stadium. It's unfortunate. The weather really has hurt the attendance there. They don't quit, but they can't hit right now either, and that's a problem. They're not getting starting pitching. That's only going to go so far, Cap. I mean, yes, a rebuilding year, developmental, all those things, but you'd like to see him win a few games at home.
Yeah, I mean, they don't quit, but, you know, one thing I've learned from covering the Bears and even this year being around the Bulls and even the Hawks, leadership and resilience and chemistry – overrated on losing teams. It doesn't make a big difference. You know, Jonathan Toews took the Hawks from the cusp of the Stanley Cup to winning, but when they were bad, he really didn't make that much of a difference. So I think that they don't give up, I think, is admirable, but right now they're just not very good, and until their pitching, especially their bullpen, gets better, they're not going to win as many games as I thought they were.
Yeah, but why aren't we viewing this like the Bulls? Kind of be happy with tough luck losses like today. You get a high.
Last year.
I know, but no, I disagree.
I think it was last year.
I think they're worse this year than a year ago.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Here's my point. I think you should go through every, feel every emotion, every experience in a ball game over the course of this season. Win some close ones, lose a lot of close ones, lose some blowouts, win some blowouts, whatever it is. Experience as much as you can to get them a little bit better. Because I feel like it's so go for the high draft pick and do what you have to do.
If you were Rick Hahn. Would you trade Jose Abreu?
No, I would not. I don't think that changes anything about this. I think you have to look at what he means to your development. It's all about developmental season. Then the younger players, the Latin players, the Cuban connection, he's all a big part of that. In the clubhouse, he has to show these guys how to get through this tough time. So I think he's a good example, and I'd keep him.
Agreed. I agree with everything you just said. You got to have some leadership even while losing.
Plus, he can hit.
He can hit. He can rake. All right, Michael Kopech looks really good down in the minor leagues. Absolutely dominant stuff. How soon till this guy's up here?
As soon as possible. I think, remember last year we were saying maybe they should wait on certain guys, but, I mean, he's a better pitcher than Carson Fulmer right now. There's no doubt about that. And I guess the question is, would it hurt him to be up on a bad team? At this point, would that hurt his development?
Right. You have to know about his mentality. Can he handle losing? But all you got to do is whatever happens, it's okay.
Yeah.
If you go do a Greg Maddux, his first year was awful, right? Just learn. Just get up here and learn.
What was his record his first year?
Was it
Maddux?
5-18?
I think it was 6-18.
6-18?
Yeah.
I think that they should take advantage. They got Rick Renteria. They have him here. This is the reason I think they have him here, so somebody like that can get through that.
Coop. But, okay, what's the service time equation?
That would be the only question.
That's the only question I have. What's the service time equation? Because you don't want to do anything that is going to be, you know, work against you in the long run. Otherwise, Kopech can come up here. But I don't know that it's a pressing question. I think he's mentally tough enough to deal with it. But he did have a couple tough outings of spring training, too. So it's going to – he could have some ups
I think
and downs.
The window, by the way, Maddux 6-14.
I think the window should be something like May – to June where you bring him up. You don't want to bring him up too late where he doesn't really understand
but
what's going
not
on.
Not replacing Fulmer.
But you don't also don't have to bring him up tomorrow. You
don't
wait
replace
a,
Fulmer.
A
Let Fulmer figure it out. I mean, this is, you know, why not give him an opportunity? Have him replace Gonzalez or Shields. Those are guys who aren't going to be here when you're good. Kopech will. Fulmer could. Rodon comes back. That's the guy you want to replace Shields or Gonzalez, not the young guys.
Who was picked right after Carson Fulmer? They went 8-9 together.
Ian Happ?
Ian Happ.
Yeah.
Ian
Happ. Oh, he's got to get out of the lineup, too. Ian Happ, he's got to go. All Can't play center field. That's Cap's new thing.
Not new. I've been on this for a while.
At least two
all
days.
All I said was give Albert Elmora
You're not the, first
the
person
sixth
to say
overall
this.
Pick yeah. in the draft, the first pick of Theo's regime. How about a shot and go, hey, kid, for the next 2 weeks, you're playing center field.
Do you think
field.
It's Joe?
Yeah, I do think it's Joe. Absolutely.
What about just,
right now, there's a nice split. They're facing lefties. They're facing righties. He's just
but there's
got to
be a
way.
Blind spot for whatever reason.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that his time might come still. Game 11 tomorrow, this is probably Elmora's fourth start, so it's not quite 50-50, but it's close enough.
All right, so you would not trade Jose Abreu.
Nope.
The bullpen you gave away over the last year, you traded away David Robertson, Tommy Canley, Anthony Swarzak. I'm missing another one. Nate Jones is coming off an injury. That, for me, is the biggest problem that they have is their bullpen.
Yeah, there's already been a couple games where they've been in and the bullpen's taken them out. They're going to lose games. Earlier this season, and it might happen, the Sox look like they could win 75 games. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. But you got to take advantage of being bad. You know, and I mean that seriously. Yeah. Like, one of the things the Cubs had an advantage, Anthony Rizzo got to play on bad teams. He got to hit against left-handed hitters. He was bad at first. Now he's good. Schwarber's not quite going to get that opportunity because he's on good teams. He's not going to be up against left-handers. So what the Cubs did was they took advantage of being a bad team and allowing a player to develop.
And
that's what you have
out.
And that's what you have to do. You have to take advantage of being
I will
bad.
Say this. It'd be nice if they had a stud closer, the White Sox, because once you get to the ninth inning, you'd like to close them out. Win some games, yeah, that way.
For the first time in almost a decade, Chicago Blackhawks will have a very long offseason. Will that be enough time for Jonathan Toews to turn his team around and his play? Meanwhile, Bulls' season of tanking comes to an end, thankfully, tomorrow night. They will not finish in the bottom three, so does that make this season a failure, David Haw?
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
There's definitely weaknesses in your game that you have to work on, that you have to get better at, but also even the parts that maybe come naturally and are your strengths, you got to still work on those too. I think across the board, I mean, you look at our division, how it flip-flopped this year, everyone was good. You're not getting any easy games. There's so many great young players that come in so physically prepared every year. So it's up to you to kind of, again, acknowledge what you do well and build off that, but also assess some of the weaknesses that kind of develop with the game changing as much as it has.
All right, Blackhawks won't have to worry about being exhausted. They're going to get a nice long break. Welcome back. The Sports Talk Live here on NBC Sports Chicago. Potsy, your take on where Jonathan Toews is. Is he at a crossroads in his career right now? Do you believe he's skating in an Indian Head sweater next October?
Oh, absolutely he is. That's the Blackhawks, right? Yeah, absolutely he is. I think no doubt he's at a crossroads. He's 29. He'll turn 30 later this month. He's still a very good player. He's a good defensive player. He's a good two-way centerman. He's great at faceoffs. He's very good. He's got one issue, shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. It's gone way down. It's below 10% for the first time in his career. He used to be, I considered him a sniper-like player when he wanted to score. It was a great offensive player. He was just too deferential to other players, and he passed too much on, you know, and he concentrated on defense. But now it seems like even when he wants to score, and you saw that in the St. Louis series, in St. Louis and against Nashville last year, he just couldn't pull the trigger. He could pull the trigger. He just couldn't score. So now the question is, how does he get that back? I think he's got to kind of change his game up a little bit and think a little more offensively and get back that quickness whatever it is that makes his shot what it was. I think he's young enough to still do that, and that's it. But other than that, his game is still fine. He's still the same player. He's not losing it in any other respect.
You don't get quicker when you turn 30, though. I mean, you don't get quicker that way. You age. And
does he need to change his training?
I think he's got to change something. I don't know what it is, and I think that
diet. I don't know.
I mean, but he's got to look at this as this is the third straight off season, which is extended off season. You go out in the first round last 2 years.
St. Louis, Nashville, and this year, no playoffs.
You don't make the playoffs. You've got to look at this as an opportunity. But I think he looked at last year offseason as an opportunity. They're going to use the Kopitar example. They brought it up yesterday. That's a guy in L.A. that kind of invigorated his career. I think a lot of it's a product in hockey, too, of who's surrounding you. You know, what kind of players are – they've got Saad here to unlock Jonathan Toews. Didn't work. So something has to now – they have to try another solution. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think I'd give up on him. I don't think I'd try to trade him.
No. He's going to be a Hawk for life. That's my opinion. If you're going to if you're going to trade someone, I would trade Kane if you're going to do one of the core guys and start over. If you're going to start over. No, I'm saying between those two, I would trade Kane. Toews is a Hawk for life. Well, if you're going to try to start over and get the most for a guy, it's Kane. You don't trade Toews. Toews, it's a lot of miles even for a 30-year-old. He's got a lot of miles. At the worst case, Toews is going to transition to a third-line center, and that's how he's going to end his career. He will transition to that. He's never been a true goal scorer. He got to 20. That's not so bad for a bad, unlucky, whatever you want to call bad percentage. If he can get back to 20-22
I
totally disagree with that. I think of all the aging core veterans, Toews is the one guy who can regain an elite status in the league.
So you trade Kane over Toews?
Kane's
going to stay at
I wouldn't trade either one of them. All I'm saying is it's
Kane's
interesting that that
Toews is great. I'm saying if you're trying to start over with Toews as your leader into the next generation, I would trade
That's
Kane.
Not even the issue as far as I'm concerned. Toews is – it's interesting. Toews came up. He's been compared with Patrice Bergeron and Andrei Kopitar. The three of them have been the three best two-way centers in the league. Both Bergeron and Kopitar doubled their shooting percentage at age 30 and 32 this year. It can and there's no doubt that Jonathan Toews is in that class. So it's not like you're talking about somebody becoming the next Nicholas Lidstrom or something. You know,
we're talking about
an out-of-this-world player.
Goals.
It's
He's
definitely within the realm of possibility
they
can do this. And I just kind of just sensing the way he is, I think he's a great candidate to do that because I think the team is also going to get better, which as David kind of alluded to, is one of the key factors in individuals becoming
more
productive.
Look, I'd like to see them both stay here, but if one was getting moved, it's not Patrick Kane. I'll let him be the leader of my team. He's the best player on the team by a mile.
I would agree with that. I think that they're not going to get rid of either one of them.
Kane is absolutely the best player. But I'm talking about what's going to make your team better into the next generation. Trading Kane would.
One of the reasons they're kind of in this mess now is because instead of just trying to win it all this year, they're trying to be relevant in 3 or 4 or 5 years. That's why Nicholas Jalmerson isn't here.
Trying to do both.
So there's no way they're going to all of a sudden switch gears now, kind of like the Bulls did, and start trading people. No, they are all in on this. They are all in on winning another cup.
As they should
winning
be.
Another cup with Toews and Kane.
I mean, look, I did not agree, and I recommended that they change someone at the top. Whether you give Stan Bowman a boss, whether you get rid of Stan Bowman, I thought they needed a change in direction. They decided not to. They explained it very well. They have their reasons. I understand it. I think it was probably more of a nod to loyalty over accountability. But the Hawks have earned the benefit of the doubt. Three cups earns you that. Now that we agree to disagree, moving forward, they've got to fix what's broken. And what's broken is they don't have enough firepower. They need to get somebody else to make more deals to get a top four defenseman. They really lack that as much as anything.
And get their goalie healthy.
And keep their goalie healthy.
Get a backup.
They need a better backup and they need a top four defenseman. You're absolutely right. That's
who is voting on this poll question?
I saw that.
Are we at happy hour voting?
Come on.
What?
More than 40 goals.
43% have more than 40 goals for Toews next year.
Oh, that's definitely happy hour talking. That can't be legit.
Why is 20-29 getting the least? That's exactly what he's probably going to score, around 20. Maybe less, I don't know.
Between 20 and 29.
But look, if he's a 25-goal scorer for the next 5 years, that's more than
Mark, would enough. It benefit him, and you were on the team a little bit in the final couple weeks, did he play a little bit, experiment on the wing? Did he play a little bit more? Did he play?
That's what Eddie Olczyk's
record. He did at one point, but it was very brief. He didn't play at the very end.
I don't know if that may be part of the next phase for him. You know, because you're asking him to do a lot. After 30, his offensive numbers are down.
I'm telling you, Eddie Olczyk said you move him.
Eddie said if you play him at the wing, he now becomes 20 to 40 feet less he has to
play. But you can say that about any centerman playing in the wing.
Not every centerman you're paying $10 million who has to be productive for you. And really, the more productive he is, the more everybody else is going to benefit.
Plus, you benefit from his leadership.
Maybe not next year, but why not the best third-line center in the league in a year or two?
Yeah, he's not at that
two-way
stage now.
Two-way player will score. If he scores 15 or 20 as a third-line center, you're happy. Now, that means your top six better be good, though. You better have enough there.
Let's take a discussion on the Bulls.
Okay.
Tankathon ends tomorrow.
Thank God.
Your thoughts on what you've heard.
My thoughts are this has been the most annoying Bulls season to follow that I can ever remember.
Why?
Because the stain and the stench of tanking is offensive to anybody who really cares about sports. And I hate the idea that losses are celebrated, wins are tolerated, and everybody wants to be as bad as possible, and I hate it. It's bad for the organization, it's bad for the city, it's bad for sports fans and media.
One of the biggest things...
But it's also reality.
It is. But one of the biggest things...
Right, and you'll be the first guy in the wake of the news above the fold with a big-time column. Boy, was I wrong when the Bulls drafted some generational player that they got, and David Haw goes, wow. That guy's amazing.
No, David Haw wouldn't be wrong because you can't take those tanking years back. And I know Potash will agree with me. In the last decade, we as fans have bought into the whole tanking thing way too easy.
Yeah.
Way too easy.
Like,
it should be the last resort. And maybe it is with the Bulls. Maybe it was with the Cubs. Maybe that's Chicago. Well, it's the last resort with these teams. But we've bought into it. Oh, every city seems to be, okay, go ahead and take. I'll talk to you in 5 years.
I find it embarrassing.
It is somewhat embarrassing.
I find it embarrassing.
You should go into taking, kicking and screaming.
Yes.
As a fan base and as an organization.
I'll be so glad Thursday at 11:45 when John Paxson thanks the media for coming to the final end of the year press conference and we can go our separate ways and forget about this lost, awful season. I'm done with it.
I think the Sixers are glad it worked out.
3 years of that, Cap.
They're not there yet, even.
Three years.
Well, I'm just saying. Would you rather go 41-41 as
you're
the
gonna
Sixers?
You're going to celebrate. You'd rather have the Sixers last 10 years than the Bulls last 10 years? No shot, as you say.
What ring have they won?
The Bulls?
Yes.
It's not all. Listen. Okay, what ring has the Sixers won?
And we don't know that they're going to.
We're obsessed with all this. You have to win a championship. Is this pass or fail? You know what? I will
Did
take
you
the
and Gar go out and celebrate the best Eastern Conference record for 5 years?
Don't talk to me about Gar, not on that.
You wouldn't take that great series against the Celtics when Rose was in his prime?
Last 10 seasons of Bulls basketball versus the last 10 seasons of Sixers basketball?
Are you talking about the Celtics series last year? No,
They were an eight seed.
I'm talking about like 5 years ago.
The Cubs gave tanking too good a name. But one of the keys was that they were able to develop players and identify players, and it was just they did it so much better than anybody that in other sports it just can't. I'll say this, I probably disagree with David as far as the tanking. I would be more accepting of tanking if they would do it. If it would get you Dwayne Wade instead of Kirk Heinrich, I'm all in favor of it. But what I think the Bulls
but you don't know that when
was
you're
they
drafting.
Did it wrong. The Bulls went 8-1 against teams ahead of them in the draft order. That's just
tanking,
doing it wrong.
Tanking assumes that the draft order is surefire, foolproof, and it works every time. And you can't tell me there aren't
better odds.
Potsy, I disagree with you about the 8-1 thing. You've got to make some, like we're talking about the White Sox, you do have to make some progress. Marketing was good during that stretch.
But those aren't the, you don't beat
Dunn
the teams. You don't,
that
you don't beat the teams ahead of you in the draft.
So now you beat
the teams behind you.
Well, you're really going to kick him off.
Point games.
You're really going to make him mad because now you're asking them to purposely lose as players.
Nobody loses.
That's one step away from point shaving.
It is.
Well, here's my solution.
You benefit by going 8-1.
Here's my solution to the tanking problem in the NBA, Cap. I say take the bottom seven teams at the All-Star break. The one with the best record in the second half gets the number one pick. It incentivizes winning. It forces teams to win to get the number one pick.
I would go for that.
There have been ideas that have been floated like that.
You got to find some way to incentivize winning. You got to make winning the priority.
You do.
You could do it in baseball. I mean, every sport could use that.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.